Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, two lines from the top. We've been learning the halachos of Gezel Ger, and somebody stole something from a Ger, swore falsely, and then admitted that he had stolen. Tarek Doisha says that he should, that and the Ger dies. So the Chaimish V'Oshem, Karen V'Chaimish, are given to the Kohanim of that Mishmer when he's returning the money. We also learned that the halacha is that the Karban Asham may not be brought until the money is returned. We also spoke about the proper sequence of the Mishmeris. And the proper sequence was that the Mishmer of Yarev came first, and then came the Mishmer of the Yadiyahu. So the Mishnah taught us that if he gave the money to the Mishmer of Yoyarov, which as we just said is the first Mishmer, and then he gave the Karban Asham to be brought by the next Mishmer, Yedaya, that's fine. If, however, he gave the Asham to Yoyarov, which is the first Mishmer, and the money to Yedaya, which is the second Mishmer, so we learned that if, after he gave the money to Yedaya, the Asham that was given to Yoyarov is still here, the Mishmer of Yedaya should be the one to bring that carbon. However, if they had already brought, if Yoyarov had brought the carbon Asham prior to his giving the money, to this person giving the money to Yedayahu, then the halacha is that he has to bring another carbon Asham. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, Noson Asham LeYarov. He gave the Asham to Yarov, and the Kesef was given to Yedaya. Yachsar Kesef Etzel Asham. So the Braisa says that the people of the Mishmer of Yedaya should give money back to Yarov, who have the carbon Asham. That is the opinion of Yehuda. The Chamayim, we're asked, the opinion of the Cham is Yachsar Asham Etzel Kesef. The people of the Mishmer of Yarov should give the carbon Asham to the family of Yedaya to bring it, says the Gemara. Let's understand, asks the Gemara, what is the circumstance where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are having their machlokes? Ilam the Yavale Asham le Yarov b'mishmart de Yarov. They gave the carbon Asham to Yarov during the week that it is their mishmar. The Kesla Yedaya b'mishmart Yedaya, and they gave the money to Yedaya during his week. So ask the Gemara, if that was what was done, why shouldn't the halacha be that zeh zoche b'shaloi v'zeh zoche b'shaloi, that everybody should keep what they got. So as Rashi explains, we understand why the Chacham would say that the Bnei Yarov should give the Asher Bnei Oda. But even though we understand it, the Gemara is suggesting that everybody should be able to keep what they got. Why do we insist that they have to give it away? As Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham just explained. Amar Rav Hachmaskin, the Yav Asher Yarov b'mishmat the Yarov, as we explained at the beginning of this year. They gave the money, the Asham, to Yarov during Yarov's Mishmar. And they gave the Kesef to Yayav and Shmat to the Yarov. So that was the wrong thing to do, because they should have given the Kesef to Yarov. Actually, they should have first given the Kesef to the money to Yarov, and only afterwards given the Asham also to Yarov. So Rabbi Yehuda saw it, and therefore it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Kivin the Lab Mishmeres to Yedayahi. This week is Yarov's Mishmar. And therefore, since this week is Yarov's Mishmar, everything should be given to Yarov. This week is not Yedaya's Mishmar. And therefore, Yedaya can sin, and we punish Yedaya. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, Hilkach Yachsa Kesef al Eishta Esham. That's why Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Yedaya should turn over the money to Yarov. However, says Rashi, but in the case where he gave the Asham to Yarov in the time of Yayadas, and during his Mishmar, and Yedayu got the carbon and the money was given to Yedaya during his Mishnah. So here, Yedaya didn't do anything wrong, because this is indeed his week. And therefore, says Rashi, in such a circumstance, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Yoriv should be giving over the carbon asham to Yedaya. And the explanation is as follows. This week is Yedaya's week. And as we explained, money always comes before the carbon asham. So since this week is Yedaya's week, they should get the money. And after they get the money, then they should also get the asham to do everything in their week. The Gemara is speaking about, explains Rashi, where this week is Yoyarov's week, and he gave Yoyarov the asham, and he gave Yedaya the kesef. So there's two problems with what Yedaya did. The first problem that what Yedaya did was that this is not his week. And the second problem is that how did he take the kesef after the asham, where the kesef should be given before the asham? And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Yedaya should now turn over the money to Yoyarov. Whereas Rabbanan's opinion is, Rabbanan Savish like it then Ovid B'nai Yoyarov, they hold that the B'nai Yoyarov did the wrong thing. How did they have a right to even accept the carbon asham? The Kibbon asham Kabi Kesef. How did they have a right to take the asham before the Kesef? As we've been learning over and over, the Kesef should be given before the asham. And therefore, suggests the Gemara, Hilkach L'dedukin Sinalei, Rabbanan hold that we punish Yoyarov. And what does that mean, we punish Yoyarov? That we tell them that they should give the carbon asham to Yedaya. V'yachzer asham etzel kasev. And as the Achronim explain, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yedaya is, it's not that the Rabbanan hold that the Yedaya is completely, Yoyarov is completely innocent. The machloikus in this Gemara is who should we punish more? Which is the one, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chama are disagreeing who should deserves more punishment? Says the Gemara, Tanya Amar Rabbi, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if they gave the money, they gave the Oshem to Yoyarov, and they gave the money to Yedaya, and this was all done during the week of Yoyarov, we make Yedaya give the Kesef to Bnei Yoyarov. However, says the Braisa, Ikidm Bnei Yoyarov Ekrivas Oshem, if they brought that carbon asham before they got the money from Yedaya, and then for it turns out that the asham was brought before the kesef was given to them, so then it turns out that carbon asham is disqualified, because the halacha is that the carbon asham could only be brought after the kesef was given, and here the carbon asham was given before, and therefore what will the halacha require? The halacha will require the yachsev yavi asham acher, another carbon asham has to be brought, and who should bring that carbon asham? The kriyah b'nei adam. Even though Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that b'nei yedaya should give over the money to b'nei yarev, that's only in a case when the b'nei yarev are holding on to the live carbon asham, and they have the option to do everything properly. What do I mean when I say they have the option to do every property? Wait for Yedaya to give them the money. And after Yedaya will give them the Karen V'chaimish, they'll be able to bring the Karbon Asham properly. But here the B'nai Yoriv in this Braisa did the wrong thing. They brought the Karbon Asham before they received the Karen V'chaimish. So since they brought the Karbon Asham before they received the Karen V'chaimish, that was the wrong thing to do. And therefore, since that was the wrong thing to do, the halacha will be, B'nei Yedaya should hold on to the money they received, and they will get the new carbon asham that will be brought after, which will end up being brought properly, because it's end up being brought after they got the kesef. Zocha lo b'mei shebiyodam. And the simpler way of explaining this Gemara, and I think this is what the Chazon Ish tries to say, is that Rabbi Yehuda is not convinced who did the wrong thing here. And since Rabbi Yehuda is not convinced who did the wrong thing, there's enough blame to pass to both of them. Since there's enough blame to pass to both of them, whenever there's a situation that points to the direction that one should be punished more than the other, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that that is the one, that he is the one that should be punished. And in this case, where Yoriv brought the Asham before they received the Kesef, which clearly indicates that they did the wrong thing, since they did the wrong thing, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that they should give, that the new Asham and the money will be kept by Yedaya, and the new Asham will also be brought by Yedaya. Amri, but ask the Gemara, what did the first Karban Asham that the Bnei Yoriv brought accomplish? How can we give any credit to that Karban Asham if it was brought before the Karev HaChaimish? As we've been saying throughout our shir, money that's given before the Karban Asham is the halacha that Karban Asham is meaningless. Ask the Gemara, it's because it's possible, it's disqualified. Ask the Gemara, Amri Lamai Chazi, Asham possible who? So what's shot when the Braisa said that if they brought the Karban Asham, the halacha is that Yocha Alola B'mash B'yodam, they keep what they got. What they got is meaningless. Amar Rava, what Rava means to say is Royal Oira, that the skin of that Karban Asham, it's a Karban Asham, it's possible, it may not be eaten, but the Oira, the hide of that Karban Asham, is kept by the Kohanim who brought it. Tanya Amar Rebbe, Lediv Rebbe Yehuda, Im Kaim Asham, if the Asham was not brought by Bnei Yoriv, Yachsa Asham Etzel Kasef, then the halacha is that the Asham should be given to Yedaya, and after the Asham is given to Yedaya, they have the money, and now they'll bring the Karban Asham, and it'll be fine. Ask the Gemara for Rabbi Yehuda, how can we say that that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Haven't we begun today's Shia by teaching us, by learning Rabbi Yehuda, Yachsa Kesef Etzel Asham? That is the opinion of Yehuda that the Bnei Yedaya should give the money to the Bnei Yoriv. Here we're learning that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Bnei Yoriv should give the Asham to Bnei Yedaya. Answers the Gemara. Here the Brice is speaking about Hacham Maiskinen, Kigoyin the Nafik Mishmat to the Yoriv. The Mishmar of your Yoriv already passed. V'loi Tavu, and they did not ask for the money, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are entitled to. The Kamash Malon, and the Gemara is teaching us that since the Bnei Yoriv, while it was their week of the Mishmar, should have asked for the money, but they didn't do what they should have done, that instead of doing what they should have done and asked the Bnei Yadaya to turn over to the money to them, they didn't do so. The Kamash Malon, what we're learning from here is that Chulei Ach L'Gabayu, what they must be saying is, you could keep the money and you bring the Karban Asham. So, we see that a person, there's a concept of Chulei Ach L'Gabayu. The fact that they didn't ask for it, the fact that nothing was said, is a proof that they're satisfied that the Bnei Yadaya should do everything. There's an interesting Shaila that the Marik discusses. The Marik discusses a situation where there was a committee, a tzedakah committee, and they were in charge of taking care of the tzedakah money that was received. And all the people in that committee moved away, and there's only one person left from the original committee. And typically, of course, a tzedakah committee needs to have more than one person. On the other hand, he's the only person that's left from that original committee. What would be the halacha? Could he make the decisions by himself? So he says that the people who moved away obviously know that he's the only one left. And what does that mean? So he applies the concept that our Gemara just taught us. He applies the concept of a Chulei Ach L'Gabayu. It's obvious that all the other committee people have decided that this person alone should be able to make this decision, make all the decisions, and we apply the concept of Chulei Ach L'Gabayu. Says the Gemara, Tan Yidach, but now the Gemara brings a different price. Amar Rebbe, Lediv Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe, Kaim HaOshon, the Oshon that was given to Bnei Yoriv, Yachsa Kesef Eitzel Asham. So the halacha is that the Bnei Yedaya who got the kesef, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is that they should turn over the kesef to Bnei Yoriv. Ask the Gemara, what is this Braisa teaching us? Pshitachisle, isn't that clearly the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, Hakam Ma'iskinon, ki going to Nofkam, Mishmatam Dahani Dahani. Bnei Yoriv's Mishmer has passed, Bnei Yedaya's Mishmer has passed. V'loi Ptavu, and the Bnei Yoriv never asked for the Kesef for Bnei Yedaya, and the Bnei Yedaya never asked for the Karban Asham from Yoriv. Madu Tema, says the Gemara, perhaps we should say, Achula Gaba Adadi, and they were Meichel to each other. And what that means is that the Asham should remain with Yoriv, and the Kesef should remain with Yedaya. Teaches us this Braisa, Kamash Malon, their meaning, Kim de Loitave, since they did not ask each other for what they're deserving, the Bnei Yada did not ask for the Asham during their week, so we revert back to Yehuda's original halacha, and the Bnei Yoriv get the Kesef, but what's going to happen is they're not going to be able to bring the carbon. They're holding on to the carbon. Rabbi Yehuda says not only do they hold on to the carbon, but they're entitled to get the kesef of Bnei Yedaya, but they're not going to be able to bring the carbon till the next time that their mishmer comes. They're not going to be able to bring the carbon until the next time their mishmer comes up. And that's what the Gemara says, Kivin Deloido, since they didn't ask for each other for the money, the loch is lahadra bereisha, everything reverts back to where it was originally, and we wait for Yoriv's turn to come again. We learned in the Mishnah, that as we've been learning throughout our Shia today, you have to first bring the Karen V'chaimish, and then bring the Karban Asham. Because the Mishnah says, if you follow that order, Yotza, you are Yotza, but if you don't follow that order, you're not Yotza. Says the Rambam anonymously, where do we know this halacha from? Says Gemara Amar Rav Adam Akra Ha'ashem, which we say means the Karen Hamushav Lashem LaKoyin Mavad Ela Kapurim Ashechapa by Olav Chlal. The pasuk uses the word Ha'ashem, and the pasuk is saying that the Asham comes first. And as the Rishonim explain, what the Gemara means to say, what Rava means to say, that the word Mavad over here should be defined as before the money. The Karen V'chaimish should be given before the carbon is brought. Amahum Rabbanan Rava. So one of the Bnei Yeshiva asked Rava, El Ma'ata, if that's the way you're explaining, that the word Milvad means before, so when the Pasuk says regarding carbon Musaf, the Pasuk says that on Shabbos, Yontif, or Shchaydish, we bring a carbon Musaf, but the Pasuk says, in Parashas Pinchas, Mavat oila sabaika shall oila satomid tasus oila. Hachinami mechlal the musaf and bereisha. Does it mean that the mavat comes to tell us that the carbon musaf comes before the carbon tamid? Ask the mavatanya, haven't we learned in a braisa that the halacha clearly is menayin shalei dover koidim the tamid shachar? The first carbon that's brought every day is the tamid shachar, and only after the tamid shachar is brought can we bring a carbon musaf? Tamaloymer, how do we know that that's the halacha? The pasuk says, "Vabi alah koin etzim ba'boiker ba'boiker v'arach alah oila v'amar rava." The word ha'oila, the Torah means to say with the word ha'oila, oila rishayna. So we see that the word mavad doesn't mean before. Amalei, so he says, not how do we know that the money is brought before the carbon? Not because of the word Mavad Eila Kapurim, that you were trying to assume I meant to say that Mavad means before the carbon is brought. El Mashichap Boy Nafgalei. The Torah is saying, Ashichap Boy. And the Torah is saying that you only have the Kapara, a Dayan Lekeeper, after you bring the money. But here our Gemara taught us a very important halacha, that the carbon oil is Tamid Shal Shachar, is always brought first. So, based on this, the halacha, of course, is that whenever we daven musaf, the halacha is that first we daven shachris, and then we daven Musaf. However, the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef, quotes the Rashba, who says that by the Eved, you daven Musaf before Shachris, you are Yotza. And so is the opinion of the Ramah, in Simon Reish Samach Vav, Sif Aleph, that if somebody daven Musaf before Shachris, it's Yotza. But what is the Halacha L'chatchila? A person came to shul late on Shabbos, on Yontif. And he came so late that the tzibur is up to Musaf, but he hasn't davened Shachris yet. So should he daven Musaf with the tzibur and have at least tefillah with tzibur on the Musaf? Or should he daven Shachris b'yichidus and then daven Musaf, which he'll end up also davening b'yichidus? So this is a question, and the Sefer Shari Torah says, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, that the carbon shachrist, the Tamid Shel Shachar, always goes first, and included in learning that the Tamid Shel Shachar goes first, even under such circumstances. And so too is the opinion of the Marshag, and the Vayan Yosef, and the Igros Moshe, of all of the opinion, even though Tefillah B'Tzibur is so important, but it does not at the price of davening Musaf before Shachris. However, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan in the Shas of Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak Simon Beis disagrees, and he says the case that we just discussed, where a person will be able to daven Musaf because he came late to shul, and be able to daven Musaf Tefillah B'Tzibur, but that will mean that he'll end up davening Musaf before Shachris. The importance of davening whatever you can, tefillah b'tzibur, supersedes davening shachris before Musaf. We learned in the Mishnah, nosan lo yaseh keren, if the keren was given, but not the chaymish. So we learned that the halacha is that the chaymish is not me'akev. One of the other cases of, we've been learning about the sham gzeilus that we've been speaking about in our shiurim. But there's also a sham mi'ilus, that if somebody used hegdish, the shogig, he has to pay back the hegdish, keren v'chaymish, and he also has to bring an asham mi'ilus. Tanar bottom. So says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, menayin shem hevi mi'ilosoi, v'lehevi ashamay, if somebody brought the carbon mi'ila, and if somebody brought the money, v'lehevi ashamay, but he didn't bring the carbon asham, ashamay, we brought the carbon osham, but he didn't pay what he's supposed to pay. That you have to bring ale means the carbon, osham means the money, and only when both are given do you have the nislach loy, the full kapara. Continues the brayser. If you brought the carbon osham before you brought the keren v'chaymish, as we've been learning throughout our shir, shalayotza, that's not acceptable. Tamaloyma, be'el ha'osham. Ha'osham, be'kvar. You first have to give the keren v'chaymish, and then you can bring the carbon osham. Yochel, shem she'er v'osham akvim. Continues the braisa. Just like the carbon osham and the money are necessary for this person to have the kapara, kach chaymish makiv, that without the chaymish, the person will also not have the proper kapara. Tamaloymer be'el ha'osham v'nislachloy. Ail v'osham akvim behegdish. You have to bring both the carbon and the keren to have a kapara. Ve'en ha'chaymish ma'akiv. Says the Gemara. Now that we have certain halachas regarding this carbon taught by the carbon Hashem Gzeilus, and certain halachas were taught by the halacha of Hashem Me'ilus, says the Gemara, Yilmer Hegdish Mehegit, in certain halachas we learned the halacha of Hashem Me'ilus from Gezel Ager, and in certain cases we learned the halacha of a Hegit of Gezel Ager from Hegdish. And the Gemara explains itself. Hegdish Mehegit, Ma Oshem Da Hosom, when the Torah uses the word Oshem by Gezel Ager, we keep on learning in our shiurim that the definition of the word Oshem means Karen. Af Osham the Hocha, when the Torah uses the word Osham by Hegdish, will define it to mean Keren. And when Hegid Mehegdish, what do we learn by Gezel Ager from Hegdish? Ma Hegdish, Just like by Shami Ilis, we just learned, the Torah teaches us that Ein Chaimish Ma'akev, the Chaimish is not essential for the Kapara. Av Hedjit Nami, by Gezel Ager, also, the Halacha will be Ein Chaimish Ma'akev, the Chaimish is not essential for the Kapara. Hanu Lacha Goizel Eitzim. Says the Mishnah, Goizel, somebody stole something, V'machlis Bonav. He gave it to his children to eat the food that he stole. V'nech Lefneim, or he died, and he left this food with his Yorshim, P'turim El Shalom. They don't have to pay for what they stole. And they're not responsible for what their father stole. However, if the object that was stolen, what was stolen was property, everybody knows that this property belonged to the person from whom it was stolen. The halacha is chayavim l'shalim. Moreover, as we're going to learn in the shir, that the halacha is that even though they don't have to pay for what their father stole, the halacha is that if the father left over property, so whatever property the father left over is achrayis, is mortgaged to any debt that the father had. And since it's mortgaged to any debt that the father had, the halacha will require that that property should be used to pay off for any gzela, that he did. Amar Chizda. So begins the Gemara. Amar Chizda Gozel. If somebody stole food from somebody else, and the person from whom it was stolen would not miyash from getting it back, and now somebody ate that food. So says the Rabbi Chizda, the victim could go back to the original gazlan. If he wants, he could go back to the person who actually ate his food. My Tama explains of Chizda what is the reasoning for his position. As long as the original owners have not given up hope, it belongs to the original owner. And therefore, whoever eats from it will be held responsible for paying it back. And as most Rishonim learn, it doesn't make a difference if the person who ate the stolen item was aware that it was stolen or if he was not aware. Moreover, the Rishonim point out, he could also collect 50% from one and 50% from the other. But what cannot be done is to take more than it was worth. So this asked the Achroinim, why is this not considered a case of a goinif min a ganif? The second person is not the ganif, the first person was the ganif. And the Gemara earlier in Amasechta says that a goinif min a ganif, this was a Gemara that we learned on Daf Samach Tes on the Beis, is Potter. So Tzoy says that the second person is not Chayiv here because he's a Gazlan. He's Chayiv because he's a Mazik. Another pshat that the Nesivus seems to suggest, that since he took it a step further, the Gazlan only stole. Here, what happened was that this person ate it. And that's why he's more responsible. And other Achroidim say, when the Gemara we learned earlier in the Masechta spoke of Goinim and Aganif, is speaking about that the Goinim and Aganif is not Chayiv Kefil. Here we're not speaking about Kefil. Here we're talking about paying the Keren, the actual value. In that case, everybody will agree that even the second person can be held responsible. Ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Hagoizel Machlas Bonov, if somebody steals and gives the food to his children, the Nechlef name, and he leaves it to them, Ptur Mil Shalom. So we see that the children who received the stolen item aren't held responsible. So ask the Gemara to Yufta de Rav Chisda, isn't this a refutation of Rav Chisda's opinion? Amlach Rav Chisda explains, Rav Chisda, ki tanya hi, that the Mishnah that says that they're not held responsible is because it was la'acha yish. Since it's la'acha yish, so at that point, the first owner gave up. And that's why they're not going to be held responsible. But if it was l'fnei yish, then even the second people would be held responsible. So the Sefer Sheikh, the children in our case. So there's a very interesting discussion that the Chishukei Chemin has here. He discusses a case where there's a catering hall, and the catering hall was catering a bris in the afternoon, a bris meal in the afternoon, and a sheva brachas at night. And the person who was making the sheva brachas had ordered fancier, more expensive food than the person who was making the bris milah. What happened here was, the caterer wasn't there, the food was in the refrigerator, and the person who was making the bris took out the more expensive food that was already there prepared for tonight's sheva brachas and served it to the guest. And now, when the caterer realizes what happened, he goes to the person who took it and says that you owe me. You owe me for the more expensive dishes that you took, which were not what you ordered. And for whatever reason, he doesn't have the ability to pay back. So he goes to all the other guests and says, you ate the food. And that's the case of our Gemara, presumably. Because our Gemara says, the Rav Chisda says, that if there was no yish yet on the part of the owner, Ratza Mizeh Goyver, Ratza Mizeh Goyver. So would be halacha be that he could go after the guest who were innocent, but doesn't make a difference. The Gemara says that each one could, the person from whom it was stolen could go after each one. Says the Chishukei Chemin, we have to take in consideration many of the opinions of the Rishonim and Achronim in our Gemara. One, he says, is that the Baal Amor says that the case that our Gemara is speaking about, that you go after the second, whether the person who stole it or the other person, that's only if the second person was not fed by the first person. But if he was fed by the first person, then it's different. So of course we need to understand, why should it make a difference if they kind of fed the second person or he took it on his own? Why should that make a difference? So the Stipler explains the opinion of the Baal Amor. He says that, as we said earlier, the Ktsois holds that why is the second person chayiv? Why is this not considered a case of a goynif min a ganif? So the Stipler said, so the Ktsoi said, he's not chayiv because he's a ganif, he's chayiv because he's a mazik. So he says that if he's considered a mazik is only in a case that he knew he's doing damage. Like we've discussed many times, the opinion of Tosfos is that when you're an oynus gomer, then you're not considered a mazik. But then the question is that we've learned, and we're going to learn in our shiurim, that if somebody benefited from somebody else's object, but he didn't know that it belonged to that person, so we learned mishal mishanena. That means the case that we're going to learn in the Gemara, where we paid with the yorshim, thought that the animal that was in their father's possession belonged to the father, and they slaughtered and ate the animal. And then it turns out that that wasn't the animal that belonged to their father. So they're not guilty because they didn't know that they were taking somebody else's animal, but they did at the end have benefit. And the halacha is mishal mishanena, which we always learn means that you pay two-thirds. So will you pay two-thirds? So he says no, because you only pay mishanena if you needed to eat dinner. So you would have had to pay money for the meat that you're going to eat dinner anyway. Here, these people were invited guests. They weren't, not, they didn't know that what they were doing belonged to somebody else. However, their Machna Ephraim disagrees. And our Gemara is clearly in a case, says the Machna Ephraim, that even though the second person was not known where they were stolen, still Rav Chisda says that he's chayiv, you could collect from the second person. Says the Chishuki Chemed that in the our Gemara, the person, the guest, had no intention to make a kinyan in that food. Since they had no intention to make a kinyan in that food, even Rav Chisda would agree that they're not held responsible. So we learned in the Mishnah, if the father left in front of them while it was stolen, he just left it to them, and then the father died, they will not be held responsible. And says the Gemara, why? Amar Rami Bachama explains Rami Bachama why. Zoysameris, what we learn from our Gemara is Yeshus Yairish Kirshus Lekeach Dami. And therefore, that just like if somebody would have bought the stolen object from the father, if somebody would have bought the stolen object from the father, it becomes theirs, because we would have Yiyush and Shini Rishus. And the law is when you have a combination of Yiyush and Shini Rishus, then it becomes full-fledged property of that individual. Here too, we have a Yerusha, and that's considered like a Shini Rishus. Rav Amar, but Rav disagrees. And Rav's opinion is, Rishus Yoyrish, Lav Krishus Lekeich Dami. A Yairish, that he says, is not considered like somebody who bought something. So if that's the case, why does the Mishnah absolve the Yarshim from returning what was by the what the father had stolen? Answers the Gemara, they had already consumed what the father left, but indeed, if it was still here, they would have to return it. But ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Mishnah. I mean, Tani Sefer, as we continue learning the Mishnah. If it was Karka, the Chayovim L'Shalim, because of the covet of their father, that everybody should not say that they're sitting on property that the father had stolen, B'chlal D'Reisha, isn't this an indication that D'Reisha is also speaking about B'gzeil K'yam Saskinen? Just like the property is still here, obviously, so too is what was stolen still here. And yet, the Mishnah is teaching us that they don't have to return it. Amalach Rava says, Rava, the way to understand is the Mishnah, Hachikamer. If the father left over property, Chayavim L'Shalim, then they would have to pay it because the Karka is always here. In other words, what the Braisa means to say is that the Gzela is not here. What it means to say is that what the Mishnah means to say is that if the father, as we learned in the Mishnah, if the father had left over property, so since the father had left over property, so just like we always explain that if the father left over property, that becomes his responsibility. The Yarshim have to use this property to pay off all of the father's debts. Here too, since the father stole something, the Yarshim will have a responsibility to pay it up. But not to differentiate if it was Karka, which is in existence, versus other things which are not existent. But ask the Gemara, for Masnali Rabbi Rav Shimbrei, Loi Davos Shesh Bechrayis Mamish, the Mishnah is not to be understood that they left over property, El Filipar of a Charishba, a Chamar of a Chamachrav, even was a cow or a donkey, Chayav Melachsim Nei Kfar Aviyam. So we see it has no difference. The way to understand the Mishnah is if it's in existence. So how could you say that the Mishnah speaking about a case, what they got, the food that they got from the father, which was stolen food, the reason they don't have to return it is because it's no longer existence. We see that the Mishnah speaking about things that are in existence. Ela Marava, Kishechivna, when I will pass away, Rabbi Oisha Nafik Levasi, Rav Yishu will come greet me. The Teretz Nemesnisik of Osai. I had, a Taisha says, that I always used to try to explain the Mishnayis the way Rav Yishu explains them. The Tanner of Yishu, Hagoyz L'Maklos Bonov, if somebody stole and gave it to his children to eat, Turim L'Shalim. But, Hiniach L'Fneim, if he left it for them, and Gzeila Kayemis, it's still in existence, Chayovim. Ain't Gzeila Kayemis, but if it's not in existence, Turim. If the father left over real estate, then even if it's not in existence, but as we just explained, chayovim l'shalom. So here the Gemara introduced the concept of kavod aviyim, that we have to be worried about the kavod av. So one question that many ask, that the chiyuv of kibud av v'eim is only by oisamas amcha, if the father acts appropriately. Here the father is a gazlan. So why is the Gemara concerned about kavod av? So Rishonim all answer that we're speaking about a father who did tshuva before he died. But then there's another question. The Gemara Masechta Gedushin that we learned in Daf Lamed Beis of an Aleph Masechta Gedushin, there's a machloikis when you have to perform kibud av v'eim. Do you have to use your own money or only your father's money? So here they inherited this money from the father. And the halach is that you only have to do kibud av v'eim from your father's money, not from your money. So why over here do they have to take their money, which is theirs because they earned it by Yerusha, and spend it for kibud av v'eim? So the Achroinim answer that there's two concepts. There's a concept of kavod av, kibud av v'eim, there's a concept of bezoyin, that you're not allowed to embarrass, you're not allowed to cause that your parents should get embarrassed. So they explain, yes, the halacha is of kibud av v'eim, mishal aviv. You don't have to spend your own funds for the mitzvah kibud av v'eim. You're only obligated to use your parents' funds. But that's in order to do the positive kibud. But when it comes to bezoyin, to avoid your parents getting embarrassed, that's a whole different situation. When it comes to avoiding your parents getting embarrassed, you even have to use your own funds to avoid embarrassment to your parents. And that's what is happening in this Gemara. In order to avoid embarrassment to the parents, that everybody should say that this person's father was a ganav, the Yorshim have to take money which they earned and use it for their, and use it, give that money back to the person who it was stolen from to avoid embarrassing the parents. So I saw an interesting question, and that is, let's say somebody's father is a mailman, and you mail carrier, and you put something into the mailbox. Is that a lack of kibud av v'eim, that your father is carrying your mail? So the Chashuk Yechemet discusses this, and he says that it's not. Because you're not designating your father to take your mail. Your father may end up being the one that will carry your mail, but it wasn't you who designated him. And therefore, it wouldn't be considered a lack of kibud av v'eim. But he does raise a question. He speaks about a case where you're buying something in a store, and the store that you're buying from, your father is the person that does the delivery, will schlep the packages to your home. Now it's much more of a question, he says, because in that case, you know for sure you're going to be causing your father to have to schlep the packages. That may be usur. So our Gemara said that Rava said that when I pass away, Rav Oshia will come to greet me, because I always explain the Mishnayis the way he did. Taisa says that he always did it. What does that mean? So Taisa says that it's only in a case when it's considered that you're doing something appropriate, it's only considered that you're doing it appropriate if you do it on a regular basis. If you only did it one time, that isn't going to be considered that you did it, that you deserve credit. You have to do it on a regular basis. But I did see that there are many stories that I saw the Shem Gedolim from the Chidah says there was once a person in Poland who was in danger, And this person was apparently a Rav, said Roshes, and the Alshich came to save the person. And the Alshich said that because you and your Roshes would always quote me, I feel a special obligation to you, and therefore I came to save you in your time of need. Says the Gemara, Amar Mar, En Exel Kiyamis, but the Brisa says, if what was stolen is no longer here, Peturim. Says, we're unable to have the Rav Chisda. Didn't Rav Chisda say that Rotz Mezegoiver, you could collect it from the actual Gazlan, from the person who received it from the Gazlan? Answers, the Gemara, as we learned earlier, Amalek Rav Chisda, Ki Tanya Hi, when did the Brisa say that you can't collect it from the children? Lachi Yush. If Yush already occurred, even Rav Chisda says you cannot collect it from the person who received it from the Gazlan.